This is part one of the Jodcast Astrofest 2007 special. I talked to Keith Cooper and Greg Smy-Rumsby of Astronomy Now magazine, Andrew Newsom, the director of the National Schools Observatory, Carol Bryan, a distance learning student, Ellen Strachan of the Royal Observatory Greenwich, and Sandra Voss of the Observatory Science Centre Hirsmansau. Okay, I'm here with Keith Cooper of Astronomy Now. Hello.
Hello.
Can you tell us what Astrofest is?
Astrofest is Europe's biggest astronomy and space exhibition and conference. It's held every year, February, at Kensington Town Hall. We get guest speakers from all over the world. This year we've had Michael Mayer from NASA. We have dozens of exhibitors selling all sorts of telescopes and binoculars and things, and people come from all over the country to meet up here and listen to speakers, buy telescopes and socialise, and it's just a great event.
I know, I've been having a great time myself. Can you tell us a little bit about Astronomy Now magazine as well?
Yes, Astronomy Now magazine was started in 1997 by Patrick Moore himself. This is our 20th anniversary this year in April.
Are you the editor?
I am the editor, that's correct. I've been the editor since December. And really we try just to have a great mix of amateur astronomy, professional research, you know, the latest goings on in space from NASA, the Cassini, Mars rovers, things like that. You know, for the astronomy enthusiast.
So, Keith, can you tell us what's in Astronomy Now for March?
In our March issue, we've got the headline on the cover is Our Colourful Universe. Now, the universe pictures we see from Hubble and Spitzer and Chandra and things like that, really, really colourful. But is that true colour? Is that what it's really, really like? And our article looks into that by Dr. Lucy Rogers. Our article looks into colour in astronomy, finds out how scientists colour code pictures to help tell us what is in the picture, what they're showing us. Obviously, infrared images from Spitzer have to be false colour because we can't see infrared lights. We've also got reports on Comet McNaught, which lit up the skies in January.
Oh, it was fantastic, Comet McNaught.
It was amazing. We've got some fantastic images from readers and some reports. We've got an article on the Antikythera mechanism written by Dr. Nick Collerstrom. It's about a device, an ancient Greek device that 2,000 years ago was built to predict the solar and lunar eclipses and the Saros cycles and all those kind of things. And it was discovered in 1900 in a shipwreck off the Greek island of Antikythera. And it's taken the last 107 years for scientists to understand how it works. And it's this amazingly sophisticated ancient Greek device. Just last year, they released some new results and some X-ray imaging and some computed tomography. And they're finally piecing together how all the gears work, and it's really amazing, sophisticated device from ancient Greece. It's astounding everybody, all the historians. We've got articles on how to make a moon mosaic with your digital camera, written by our writer, Will Gator. We've got our regular night sky feature, which tells readers what's in the sky during March.
Some nice graphics from your illustrator.
Yes, he really does well with the graphics, really easy to use. Our focus this month, focus is the main part of the magazine. It's normally about 10 or 11 pages long. And this month it's all about alien volcanoes. Volcanoes on the moon, ancient volcanoes on the moon obviously. Volcanoes on Mars, Venus, Earth, Io, cryovolcanoes on Titan.
So they're the volcanoes which are actually made of ice?
Absolutely, ice coming up from underneath the surface. And on Titan, that's what produces all the methane in the atmosphere. And they think that the history of Titan, there's been three major volcanic periods that produced all this methane. At the moment, we're just coming to the end of the third period, and it's unlikely to be another period for a few billion years when the sun heats up and warms Titan yet again. And rounding off the magazine, we have our regular features, society listings, Ask Alan with Dr. Alan Longstaff, where he answers readers' questions, picture gallery, and lots of other great things.
Sounds good. We'll hope our listeners go and check that out.
Yep, available in all good news agents. Price £3.25.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Okay, it's a pleasure.
Okay, with me now is Greg Smy-Rumsby, who is an illustrator for Astronomy Now magazine.
Indeed, correct.
Can you tell us about what your job involves?
Yes, basically what I've got to try and do is put the sky into a manageable form. It's got to be easy to be understood by the basic amateur, but also useful to the more experienced amateur astronomer as well.
We've got a whole sample of your illustrations, I think, in front of us.
Yes.
Can you just go through a couple of them?
Well, for example, on the June issue of Astronomy Now, we have the crash that shook Mercury to its core, which, of course, refers to the building time of the solar system when planets were being formed. And what the illustration is desperately trying to show is the fact that Mercury has ended up with a very large core, but a very small sort of silicate crust and mantle. Now, how can a planet that small have such a large core? Well, effectively, it's almost certain that it was subjected to a massive, almost catastrophic impact when it was shortly after it formed. And that ripped away much of the mantle and much of the crust, and poor old Mercury was left with a big core and much, much less building material around it. And what the illustration's doing is that moment of impact, that catastrophe, blowing it to pieces. So not only do I do the star maps, but I also do the sexy stuff as well.
I know, it's a fantastic image. How long would something like that take you to produce?
Probably about a day, really, to try and get... I mean, part of this surface is real Mercury, and I've sort of moulded it and bent it, because Mercury probably would have been a bit deformed in the impact, effectively.
Right. And do you make sure there's a bit of physics and astronomy
kept
in there?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I don't like illustrations that are clearly walked away from the physics. It's not a good way forward to make an illustration.
And how many illustrations do you produce a month for Astronomy Now?
Probably tasked to do at least one big one, and then there might be a couple of other things like posters, for example. We do issue an awful lot of posters. I think one of my biggest things is the things like stars, for example. Very large stars are often depicted as big suns. Mm. The famous sun that we've got, the centre of the solar system, well, that's not what big stars actually look like.
Stars like Betelgeuse.
Betelgeuse, for example, which is up to 1,500 times the diameter of our sun, probably doesn't look like a big sun. It's a dark red because the energy at its outer atmosphere is somewhat subdued compared to the amount of energy at its core, which is pushing that atmosphere out. Well, what's it actually going to look like? Well, it isn't going to be a nice smooth surface, and it's probably very, very tenuous at the outside and highly disrupted by large magnetic fields that are rupturing it, almost pushing it out, mass ejections, prominences which are probably buried below some of the gaseous envelope at very high temperatures, excited, double excited, all this type of stuff, and that's what a big star looks like. So there's a nice diagram, and I'm sorry that the listeners can't actually see it, but
there's a problem with an audio.
Or obviously the audio thing, but hopefully my voice is describing some of it. So that effectively, it's trying to put some of the physics back into an ordinary illustration.
Yep. Well, I must say they're excellent illustrations, and people can check those out every month in Astronomy Now.
Indeed, absolutely.
Thanks very much for talking to us.
No problem.
Okay, I'm talking to Andy Newsom. You're from
John Moores University.
Thank you. And you work with the National Schools Observatory.
I am the director of the National Schools Observatory for my seniors. Yes.
For you. Can you tell us a little bit about what the National Schools Observatory is?
Basically, we've got this rather nice 2-metre telescope on the Palmer, the Liverpool telescope. It's a sort of £5 million toy, which school kids also get to play with. It's all done through the internet, so they can, just like a professional astronomer, decide what they want to do. It gets sent out to the telescope. The telescope does it for them. And then it gets sent back all through the internet, and they can analyse it. So they can do their own science in the classroom, just like a professional astronomer with a £5 million telescope.
That sounds amazing. I wish I had a £5 million telescope as a toy.
Yeah, I rather like doing it. We spent about 8 years setting it up, you know, working with teachers and trying things out in the classroom and so on. And it's been really good fun every second of the way.
So it's totally robotic and does everything by itself?
Yep. We send it what we want it to do, and then we go to bed. And during the night, it monitors the weather and keeps track of other telescopes and so on, and it decides from minute to minute what's the best thing to do next and gets on with it.
Right. So is it just UK schools that can use that?
At the moment, UK and Ireland schools can use this particular telescope,
Okay.
And lots of professional astronomers. It's a research instrument, so it's mixing the two together, which is quite exciting.
Right. So how long, if you're a school and you have a proposal and you submit this request, how long before you get your observations made?
Typically, weather permitting, it's done that night.
So cool.
You get it the next day. Sometimes we can't. There's the weather, there's the phase of the moon, you might, for example, want to observe a particular part of the moon at two different phases to see how the shadows change. Mm. So the first one might be done immediately, and then you might have to wait a week for the second one, but that's just physics, you know.
Yep.
So, but if there's no reason not to, it's usually done that night.
Is that free?
It's now free, yes. The university, John Moores University, is sponsoring UK and Irish schools, so they sign up and go for it.
So how do you find out more? If you're a school that wants to get involved, how do you find out?
Everything is on our VAST website, www.schoolsobservatory.org.uk, and you just go along there and click.
Very good. We'll put a link to that in our show notes on the website as well. Okay, Andrew, thank you very much.
My pleasure, thank you.
I'm Carol Bryan, and I'm from Hampshire, and I'm a distance learning student.
So why are you attending AstroFest?
I'm attending so that I can help promote distance learning in whatever way I can.
So have you done lots of distance learning courses in astronomy then?
I have. I've got the certificate of higher education and I'm just doing the diploma.
Okay, so why do you like doing astronomy by distance learning?
Because it's convenient. I like the variety of courses and I can do it in my own time and at my own pace.
And which bits have you found the most interesting so far?
I must admit I like the ones where we do a little bit of practical work as well.
Yeah, so do I.
I'm Ellen Strachan from the Royal Observatory Greenwich and National Maritime Museum.
Okay, and why are you at Astrofest this year?
I'm here at Astrofest to give everyone information about what they can do when they visit the Observatory or Maritime Museum.
Right, and one of the exciting things that's happening at Greenwich is the Time and Space exhibition. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, we have a new astronomy centre that's opening. It's going to have three new modern astronomy galleries, and there's also a new state-of-the-art planetarium, the Peter Harrison Planetarium. It's got an Evans and Sutherland laser projector. It's the first one in the country, but all our planetarium shows are still going to have a live presenter there as well.
That's always good. I think planetarium shows with live presenters are always the best.
Yep, I think so.
So, and it's good because the London Planetarium closed last year, didn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So I think we may be the only planetarium in London now.
What else is there to see at the Royal Greenwich Observatory if people want to visit?
Well, at present we've got four new time galleries and they have in them all the Harrison clocks.
So those are the original clocks which were sent to work out longitude?
Yes, made by Harrison, who won the Longitude Prize. And you can see the Astronomer Royal's apartments there. And
Does he still live in them?
No. No, Flamsteed, the first astronomer royal, lived there. And you can see the shed where he actually had to do most of his astronomy as well and had all of his telescopes.
Very good. Can you just tell us your website address?
The web address is www.nmm.ac.uk and then you need to click on the observatory link.
Okay, we'll put a link to that on our podcast show notes as well. So thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you.
Sandra Voss from the Observatory Science Centre, Hurst & Soon.
So why are you visiting Astrofest 2007?
The Observatory Science Centre is also the former home of the Royal Greenwich Observatory and we have the old telescopes from that. And so we do astronomy related events and activities at the Science Centre as well as have our interactive hands-on exhibits. And we also have an astronomy festival. It's really good to get involved with the astronomy side of things and come to Astrofest because there's so many people here that get involved with that. And we just want to say, we're still there, we're still here.
Do you have operational telescopes?
We do. We have four operational telescopes and they're the 13-inch up to the 36-inch, so they're good. We have open evenings and we have, the Astronomy Festival, and we also have courses in astronomy as well. But it's nice, it's really good, and it's also good to meet people at Astrofest.
It is.
We meet loads of different people. The first time I came I knew nobody and now I know quite a few people, so it's good to get to know people again and see familiar faces, and also we bring our exhibits here as well. Lots of people like to see the exhibits.
Are these yours?
Yep, this is all from the Science Centre. We have over 90 fully interactive hands-on exhibits at the centre as well. So it's great to come here to Astrofest and give a little bit different. So and it's good for the kids as well when they come. Saturday, I think we have a lot of kids here, so they do interact with them. And we give a lot of brochures away of our events and activities, so that's why we like to come to Astrofest as well.
And talking of your activities, I see that you have an open evening for the total lunar eclipse at the beginning of March.
We do, yes, and hopefully we'll get a lot of people there. It's actually very good because of the timing. It's on a Saturday, which always makes things very good for us. Very handy. So we can open before it starts and we can just carry on until it finishes. So, you know, we're quite lucky that way. So.
Excellent. And if you just want to give us a promo for your festival.
We have the Hurst & Soon Astronomy Festival, which is in September, the 7th, 8th and 9th. It's the Astronomy Weekend and you can come and camp under the backdrop of the telescope domes.
Wow.
We've got open evenings on the Friday and the Saturday. We've got lectures all day Saturday. We've got trade stores. We've got all sorts of things going on Saturday. On the Sunday, it's more of a family activity fun day. We're hoping to have stormtroopers there again. And
I've seen some pictures on your stand of the stormtroopers interrogating people, I think.
Absolutely. They were fantastic. They used to, they'd march people through the car park and they'd interrogate people, and they really brought a smile to a lot of kids' faces. Hopefully they'll come back again. There's raffles, there's all sorts of things. It's a fantastic weekend. Be a tent even as well.
So where can people find out about that?
They can find out about it on our website, which is www.the-observatory.org, or you can phone the centre and book, or you can pick up an events and activities brochure, and that will give you all the details in there as well. So website and brochures.
Very good. We'll put a link to that in our show notes on our website as well.
Fabulous. Thanks very much.
Thanks for speaking to us.
Thank you.
That was part one of our Astrofest 2007 special. Download the second part from the Jodcast website at www.jodcast.net.